month message for this year, 2020. And I'm looking forward to meeting you again early next year. But the topic of today's message is revealing the Saviour. And when we think about things that are revealed or things that are shown, a lot of the greatest things that we appreciate in life were revealed in very insignificant places. Now, who knows who invented the wheel? Anyone know who invented the wheel? Well, that's right. It could be. It's often. And what was the name of the people or the person who invented the wheel? No one knows. Now, I'd imagine. Often when we talk about things being revealed, last year and recent years, the baby reveals have been a big deal. And I've been present when people have had a whole lot of balloon-like big tubes with streamer poppers, and everyone doesn't know what the gender of the baby that's about to be born will be. And then people pop it and it came out blue, this one. It's a boy. And that was quite a spectacular thing. There was all this cloud of streamers just floating around. And then going over on top of the neighbour's house. It would be quite funny too. But fortunately they get on with their neighbours. But there's reveals like that. There's also sometimes when people, the Apple company, Apple, when they want to reveal a new product, they make sure they have a venue like this or bigger. They'll have dignitaries present, they'll have their famous spokesman present, they'll have the developers present, and then the CEO of the company will reveal the new product, whether it's an iPhone or an iMac or whatever it is, they'll have a big reveal. But in life, a lot of the greatest revelations have happened in quite insignificant places. I expect with the invention of the wheel, it was probably just some person just playing around with some materials and going, hang on. And something was revealed to them when they ended up designing the wheel. Likewise, with a lot of scientific revelations and discoveries, they usually happen in laboratories in quite enclosed environments to one or two people. I've actually spoken to someone who found some obscure star a long way away when I visited an astronomy centre, and they were quite proud that they discovered this star. But it happened at night time, and they were in a location way in Western New South Wales where there was no other kind of light pollution, and they discovered it by themselves. They didn't have anybody with them to say that they discovered the star. They just recorded where it was and recorded details. And often the biggest revelations in the world happen in quite insignificant places and insignificant situations. And it was the same with the birth of Christ. With the birth of Christ, we have this situation in Luke chapter 2 where the Bible says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, with those particular verses and situation, these shepherds were out just doing what they would often do. They would often be out with sheep at night time, just making sure that the sheep were safe and together, and just they would stay with the sheep overnight. They'd stay nearby, and while they were with the sheep, they had this great revelation. An angel appeared to them. Now, that would have been quite a spectacular thing for them. But it didn't happen in a city. It didn't happen in a stadium. There weren't any media present. The shepherds appeared to the angels. And I've got a little statement there, the big significance of the small town shepherds, which is the slide there with that, the big significance of the small town shepherds. Now, the reason I said that is that they were small town shepherds. Bethlehem then was a small town. It's grown significantly since that time, 2,000 years ago. But Bethlehem was a small town. And these shepherds were associated with Bethlehem. They lived in that region, but they lived just outside the town where they were looking after sheep. And often when today, when messages are given to people, they're given to big media organisations, or they're given to governments who can spread the news. For example, we had news about the various vaccines that are being developed for the COVID-19 virus. And when scientists have their discoveries and they've had their trials and they're confident that the trials are successful and have a clear result, they transfer that information to someone who will tell the world, or tell governments, or tell companies about it. They make sure that that message gets out. But here, God gave that revelation to just a few shepherds. And shepherds were people who were not always well-connected people. They were probably people who just were seen as doing an average kind of job, and people who had to live outside because they were a little bit smelly by being with the sheep and out in the grass all day. And the revelation came to them. And the significance of that is that God often gives his revelations, and it's happened time and time again in the scriptures. In the Old Testament, you've got people, even though Noah was wealthy, he was considered quite different and on the outer of the society he lived in. There were other people in the Old Testament and New Testament, some of the prophets, who were not necessarily the most significant people around, but God gave them a very clear revelation of his will and what would happen in the future. We know when Jesus called disciples, he called disciples from people who were out, they were people who were out in the community who he saw had an aspect of faith and who could follow him and who would follow him. And so when he called people, he said, come and follow me. He called people who were not necessarily the most significant people, but he revealed himself and he revealed his will and he revealed his call for those people in those insignificant places. But they were ordinary people, moving on to the next slide, they were ordinary people with a privileged experience. In verse 15, it says, when the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So, you know, when the angel appeared to the shepherds, he gave details about the birth of the child, about the baby in the manger, about being in Bethlehem. And after this happened, these shepherds realised they had been given privileged information, like inside information about something special is going to happen. Like if you were told by someone, hey, look, something really special is happening now, but not many people are there, and you can have a chance to go and see it. I'd be the sort of person who would want to go and see it. I'd want to go and see what was happening, I'd want to go and check it out. I'd like to see new things and new experiences and something special. Imagine someone said to you, what your friends would say, hey look, I was out in the Western Hills in the Western Country around Bathurst a few weeks ago, and I was digging with some friends in an old mine site, and we found a bucket of gold this big, but I haven't taken it to the valuers yet. You want to see it before I take it to the valuers. I'm not going to tell many people, you can come and see it. It's in my garage, and I'm not going to tell you exactly where. And so, I would want to go and see that. Who'd want to go and see that nugget of gold, that big nugget? Yes, some of you would, that's right. Well, this was the kind of thing that was happening. The shepherds had got this special message, and they got inside information about the birth of the Saviour. They got this message before others had seen it. So they were privileged. And so they said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Now, it's interesting, they were confident because they'd seen the angels, and they had this spectacular experience of angels appearing and speaking to them and then going back up into the heavens. They knew that it was a special message from God, and they felt very privileged. And we should realise that the message in information we have about Christ is privileged information. We are actually encouraged and told to share it and to tell other people about Christ and what we know about Christ. But we are privileged to have this information. And she would all, we should always realize that because we have heard about Christ, because we know things about the scriptures, because we have copies of the Bible, because we have that information about faith in Christ and following him, information about the Holy Spirit who is sent to be with us, we have this information, it is privileged information, and we should treat it as something that is special, something that is really valuable. And these shepherds certainly did that. And in verse 20 it says, the shepherds returned after they saw Jesus, and they glorified and praised God for the things they had seen. So between verses 15 and 20, the shepherds go to see the baby, and they say, wow, this was special. I want to move on to the next slide, because I want to see the details about this revelation which actually made them praise God. And we should. The first thing is, in verse 9, there was actually quite a brilliant, bright message. And it was a message that came accompanied by angels. Angels who were quite impressive with their voices and their presence. And the message of Christ is a brilliant message. Now, at Christmas time, we have decorations, we have lights, we have stars on the tree, we have models of angels on the tree or near nativity scenes. We have the nativity scene itself, which has Mary and Joseph and the baby Christ, and then it's often accompanied by the shepherds, wise men from the east, the animals, you know, it's a beautiful scene. And it's a bright message, it's a happy message. It's a message of hope. I visited a lady the other day, and she's housebound, that's because of her illness and her vulnerability to not wanting to catch other viruses. But she had this little nativity scene. It wasn't very big, not about this big. But she pointed it out to me, and she was a lady who believed in God and believed in Christ, and she said, you know, that's my sign of hope. And I was sitting in a room, it was quite a cluttered room, there was a lot of other stuff in it, and there was, you know, old papers, it was a clean house, but there was a lot of stuff in this room. But she pointed, amongst all the things she has in the room, to this nativity scene, which was just off-center from where she would sit, and to the right. And it was only this big. And then she spoke about it. And she spoke about it. Isn't it lovely that Christ was born? And she spoke about just the joy and the goodness of God. And it reminds her that Christ is present in the world. You know, Jesus being born, God incarnate, as he's described in Matthew, is a reminder that God is in our world. God is with us. And so it's a lovely message, it's a bright message. In verse 10, there's a reference to the angels saying, don't be afraid. There were a few times when angels appeared, and it says, fear not. Now, we often think of angels as being cute, and kind of just cute little creatures with wings that wouldn't frighten anybody. Well, the biblical angels, there must be something frightening about them. Either just the fact that they showed up. You know, imagine you being in your place at night time, and suddenly there's someone there who is bright and speaking to you. That would be frightening. Or someone who comes with a lot of singing. Now, most people like singing. But imagine you being in a quiet place. Because remember, back in this time, they didn't have radios or TVs or Netflix or anything, or they didn't have any iPads. There was nothing that was playing recorded music for them. And suddenly there's music and singing and it's quite loud. That itself could be frightening. And often the angels say, fear not, I bring you news of great joy. And it was a joyous message, not a frightening message. And the message of Christmas is a joyous message. Now, I think it's important for us Christians to realise that at Christmas time, we should realise the significance of Christ. Certainly, the coming of Christ is related to Easter and Jesus dealing with sin. That's certainly a big part of it. We should focus on the joyous aspect of Christ's coming. Coming into the world as the Saviour, the one who comes to save us from the dilemma of sin. The one who comes to save us as the one who is God's sign of love, God's bringer of love. You know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. And so it's a joyous occasion. In verse 11, it says, today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, one thing I just want to focus on is that the people in Israel who were devout Jews were looking forward to the arrival of the Messiah. The Messiah was this promised king, promised in the Old Testament times, who would come and really bring a new phase of God's kingdom to that area and God's kingdom to the world. And Jesus' birth is a sign that those promises are being fulfilled, that God is keeping his word. The Messiah has arrived. It's a wonderful thing, and it's associated with community joy. Another thing you need to realize is that the king looks like a baby. In verse 12, it says, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Now, up until they heard that word baby, it's quite likely that shepherds were thinking, oh, the Saviour's coming. He will be a king. Surely he'll be out. Surely it will be an adult who will come. And we know that many people expected the Messiah to come, to arrive as an adult, and an adult warrior who would have a political influence, who would really have a powerful influence on Israel and push out the Romans from the land and all those sorts of things. The message was a little bit strange. They were expecting a king, and the clear thing is, you will find a baby wrapped in cloths. Another strange thing about this is that a manger was not the usual place for anybody to put a baby. A manger was a feed trough where you put the food for sheep and donkeys and cattle, mainly cattle and donkeys actually, who were just needing feed from a container because you're on the move or something. And it will be the equivalent of us saying, okay, you will find, go to the back store in the supermarket, and you'll find a baby lying on the back shelf with the grain, the chicken feed. This will be a sign to you. And in some ways it's a good sign. Because when the shepherds got to Bethlehem, there was probably more than one baby. There was probably multiple babies born. And we know that later on, when Herod tried to eradicate all the young children from Bethlehem, there were many, many kids around about that age. So when the shepherds got to Bethlehem, there would have been probably multiple babies. But they had to look for the baby who was lying in a manger. And that kind of manger means divine. But it also shows that God is not too proud to be born into humble circumstances. And we know Jesus, when he came, he took on the form of a man and he aligned himself to the experiences of many people, including poor people who don't have proper beds for their babies. And so this situation where Jesus is a king who looks like a baby, who is a baby, and is born in this humble circumstance, is quite a profound situation. The other thing about the message, it's a wonderful message, is that it's an occasion for praise. Earlier on in this passage, the angels are praising God. Later on, Mary, in verse 20, she praises God. And it says, treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's a great occasion to pray. Now, I think this is an encouragement. Often we sing carols, and this year there are limitations on how we sing and where we can sing, etc. But singing carols is a great aspect, a great response to the message of Christ coming. You know, hark the herald, angels sing, glory to the newborn king. And then Gloria in excelsis Deo, you know, oh, that's a wonderful hymn of praise. And there are other carols and hymns which are fantastic songs that help groups of people join together and praise God because of the birth of Christ. And hopefully all of us have a sense of appreciation for this message and a motivation to really praise God. You know, this year, in 2020, it's been a year which has been unusual. It's had difficulties and challenges and all sorts of things happen which have been quite different to our previous years. But this Christmas, we have an opportunity to appreciate the birth of Christ, the joy that he brings, and really have a sense of praising him and honouring him. And I think we should really just sort of take note of that. And I've got... Just on the last slide, I've got two application points on the next slide. And the application is, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Now, I'm not saying that we just imagine things about Christ, but when people would have looked at a baby in a manger, if other people came apart from the shepherds, and they were just walking past where Mary and Joseph and the baby were, they might have just said, oh, gee, those poor people, they can't even have their own home. Well, they might have just walked past and said, oh, gee, that mother's terrible. Why didn't she find a proper bed for a baby? Well, they might have walked past and said, oh, gosh, you know, it's a strange place for them to be. The shepherds came and they were informed. They'd been given a message beforehand that when they saw a baby in a manger, they would be looking at the Messiah. They'd be looking at the Saviour. They'd be looking at one who was the source of God fulfilling his promises. And that's often the same for us. And that's why we know in our society, some people find out things about Christ and they say, nah, it's not for me. No, well, that's just too weird. Or it doesn't fit what I think a Messiah should be. A lot of people use the name Jesus and they have an idea about Jesus which is quite different to the Bible's idea about Jesus. And so when the idea of Jesus being God and man is mentioned, when the idea about Jesus coming and living as a human, starting as a baby and growing up through teenage and adult years, that seems a bit strange. Some people think that Jesus suffering on the cross is unnecessary and just shouldn't be mentioned. And likewise, some people think that his resurrection is just too unbelievable to even mention. But the gospel and the message of Christ is a beautiful message, but it does require some faith. And faith helps us to understand and to see how Jesus is a beautiful Saviour. How Jesus being born as a baby in Bethlehem and living in a manger for the first few weeks of his life is actually a sign of God fulfilling his promises. And so faith helps us to see the beauty in God's world and in what God is doing. And even in our situation here in 2020, it's been an unusual year, but I think if we are people who have faith in Christ and look to him and trust him as one who is leading us, who is guiding us, who is with us every stage of the way, we can still see some beauty in what is quite an unusual and for many quite a hard year. And it's important for us to realise that we, when faith helps us to see the good in a world which has a lot of things that are untidy. I'm sure where Jesus was born and where he lived the first few weeks of his life was not necessarily the tidiest or best part of town. But he was there And the shepherds came with that view of faith and that information they had, and they saw the beauty. You were talking about memory earlier. Thank you. That leads to my conclusion here. That last part in verse 19 and 20, and it says, that's right, it says, in verse 19, it says, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And Mary, when she had, remember, Mary had also experienced a revelation to angels. She'd experienced the miraculous conception. She'd experienced God providing a number of things before Jesus was born. She had that conversation with her cousin Elizabeth, and there was confirmation that God was doing something special for both of those women, and their children would be special children. She had all this information, and when she's there, she's had the baby. Not sure how long these shepherds show up. I hope they didn't show up on that same night. We imagine they did, but hopefully they waited a day or two, just to give Mary some time to gather her breath. We don't know. The shepherds and the wise men, they came sometime after Jesus was born, but whether they came the same night, we're not sure. But Mary's there, she's had this little baby, she and Joseph are together with the baby in the stable, and shepherds show up. And I'm sure the shepherds told them about the angels that they had seen, the voices that they had heard, the music that they had heard. And what had been said about this son, this baby, being a special saviour and Messiah. And Mary just says she treasured these things in her heart and pondered them in her heart. And there are some things in life that are worth remembering. And likewise, there are often challenges to memory, which are related to our health or our experiences. But it's good to try and remember the significant things that happened in our life. If you can remember a time when you took faith in Christ seriously, try and continue to remember that. If you can remember a time when God has answered specific prayers, remember those times. If you can remember a time when you have grown in your faith and your knowledge of Christ, try and remember those times. Because those memories build a great legacy in your heart for your faith. And when things are tough, when things are hard, you often can rely on the legacy of those good memories to help you through and to encourage you to pray in every situation. I'm going to pray now, and then we're going to have a time of communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message that comes today from the Book of Luke. And we are amazed at how you have revealed yourself many times in many ways. And in particular, at this time, you revealed yourself to the shepherds who came and saw the baby Christ. And we pray that we would have a greater revelation of Christ today. Help us to understand more of the significance of his birth in Bethlehem. And help us to be people who come and really live our lives inspired by that revelation. Please inspire our praise. Inspire what we do. Inspire how we treat each other based on what we know in Christ. And we ask this in his name. Amen.